welcome back, welcome back. Case File 13. Those crazy Russians. Deja vu, anyone?
Sound like Dr. Zhivago, whatever his name is, from Simpsons. That's amazing.
In full disclosure here, this is the second time we're going on recording this.
Why did you even have to say that?
You blew it. Why would you say that? They're going to be expecting so much more now.
No, because we only recorded 20 minutes and it all got fucked up. So then we took a break, 24 hours rest, rejuvenated.
I needed a mental health break.
Yeah, rest and reset. That.
Rest and reset.
Some vodka.
Now we're going. A little bit of a long hiatus for us. The people who have been listening
to us. Guys, busy being Canadians.
Yeah, busy being Canadians out in the woods hunting for Bigfoot.
We got grilled for not putting on an episode last week.
Yeah, we did. And I want to say that those of you who have been listening to us recently have been spoiled, because we've been trying to release one a week. Those of you who have been listening since we first put one out will know that sometimes it was months before a second one. So we're going to continue to try to put them regularly, but sometimes
if it doesn't happen, then
sometimes Mr. Conspiracy's back in town. He called me earlier today, and so we'll get him on for I don't even know if I want to do a power hour with him. He was so ill prepared last time. This was him. Power hour. Okay, what do you got? Well, I've nothing. what do you want to talk about? Well, I don't know. You're like, Ben, it's your hour. Oh yeah.
Like, oh, I've been gone for a month. I haven't listened to a single episode, but
so first off, we're going to talk about Making a Murderer real quick, because that's just the thing right here. So, Andrew, what are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Dan.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
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 Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Are we gonna miss WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay, and there's our Making a Murderer second segment. Straight to space news. March 8th, we have a near-Earth object coming. It's 3 million miles away or some shit. Like, it might be visible. What? Just say it.
You forgot to do introductions.
Oh, shit.
You fucking blew it.
Oh, you fucked up. Scrap it.
How are they going to know who we are?
They have no idea.
As always, I'm Braden fucking things up.
And I'm Zell, making fun of Braden.
We have back in the house our medical expert.
Jack Untervega?
He's back.
He's back. Show him the papers. And as always, we have our Southeast Asian alien correspondent.
Dan.
And crickets.
Crickets. space news. Near Earth object coming March 8th, might be visible. Cosmic rays are on the rise.
Cosmic rays?
Sweet. Human torch powers on the way. That's going to happen.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough.
Yes.
No auroras, pretty low chance of auroras, so that's not happening. End of space news. We got some business to wrap up. Should we do a t-shirt thing first?
T-shirt, yeah.
T-shirt.
The winner.
It's been decided. Woo. Zell, you want to talk about the winner?
Her name is Danica. She's from Ontario, Canada, somewhere. She drew us a hand-drawn alien head with some subliminal messages.
Well, it looks kind of like a alien head / sugar skull. Mexican sugar skull. It's pretty fucking rad.
Pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet.
Hand-drawn, it was... There's probably like 7 or 8 good entries, but
there was a shout out to Tyler, our minor friend Tyler. He had a good one. I would say he was pretty close to runner up.
He was a runner up for sure.
Nally Kate, I think that's her name.
Is that the girl who drew with the?
Yeah, she did a hand drawn one. She was like one of the first entries. I like those. But in the end, Danica.
Danica
can only be one.
There can only be one, and you were the one. So we will. We're working on shirts. They're on. The process has started. So. We'll let you know. We have your info, and we will send you one.
Could be as soon as 1 month or as late as 6, depending on how fast this guy works. So.
Well, and remember, it's all brought to you by SharpTarps.
SharpTarps.ca. It's not up yet, so...
Don't search.
Well, you can search. It'll just say unavailable. But
give us 1 to 6 months.
Yeah, 1 to 6 months. We got to get the designs ready first, and then we'll work on the next bit. Someone logged in. Anyways, so... Next up, we want to do a new segment where you can send in your fan questions. So if you have a question for us that you want to talk about, we'll talk about it live on air. What you need to do is send it to us via Facebook or Twitter. Record your question. If you want to record a 15-minute question, we'll listen to it, but we might forget the first bit. So, you know, if you keep it sweet and short, we'll put it on the air. We'll answer your question. We'll discuss it. But if you're sending us stuff and we happen to think it's funny, we might make fun of it. But we're not making fun of you. We're laughing together, not at you.
We probably will make, we will make fun of it.
Yeah.
But in a fun, it's in a fun way.
It's fun. You know, you guys, we're 13 episodes in.
It will be constructive criticism.
Yes. Yeah.
On that note.
We'll give you some feedback.
On that note, we have a question from another podcast friend, Cedric from 98 Problems Podcast. And let's get his question right now.
Hello, this is Cedric from the 98 Problems podcast. Just got a little question here for the alien theorists theorizing. So, just a little question here for you. The Mike Sparkle debate, who knows? I heard that some sort of clever clogs, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he said that chimpanzees share a 98% DNA with humans, right? 98%. So he said that humans, therefore, are 2% better than chimps, right? There's quite a big difference. I don't know about, I've seen, like, chimps drinking tea on, like, PG Tips adverts and so sort, but they're not that clever compared to humans. And then he said, right, he said, imagine if aliens, right, oh, we're only 2% better than humans. What would that, you know, how they'd be, like, cleverer than Stephen Hawking, like, even, like, the thick ones and that. So, what if they're even more than 2%? That's, my mind's blown. Don't know about yours, but thanks very much.
Oh, those are some interesting points about...
what did he say?
So basically what he's saying is if we're 98% shared DNA with chimps and we're 2% greater, what's 2% greater than us? But, you know, we were talking about this before. We're like, fuck, we're 4% away from being bananas. So I think I stole that line from Dan. Dan, what do you feel about that question?
2% more would be space bananas.
Space-faring bananas.
That's bananas.
Yeah.
Well, let's quickly discuss it, what he actually meant, though. Like, we're 2% different genes than a chimp.
Yeah.
But
we share 98% of the same genetic code that makes apes, makes, you know, chimpanzees. But that 2% that sets us away, that is just like sequences in our genes that dictate how our cells form, our bone structure, the way our organs are shaped. I don't think it's not that we're 2% greater. It's just we're 2% different.
I'll agree with that too. I think what he was saying is if you were to say we're 2% better than apes, what's 2% better than humans?
Dinosaurs.
Well, they're long gone. If we're 2% more advanced than apes, let's just say if there's 2% more advanced than us, it would be leaps and bounds, because if apes have no digital technology or anything like that.
Have you ever seen that YouTube video of that Christian lady like explaining to you why dinosaurs aren't real?
No.
Oh, it's fucking phenomenal, man. That. It's phenomenal. She's basically like explaining, like, you can find whatever you want that's been buried and turn it into bones. And that's what people have done. There's no way. It's the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen.
We'll
in my life.
We'll post it on Twitter. We'll get Andrew to show us after. We'll post it on Twitter. Yeah. So thanks for the question. Let's try to seriously discuss it. I don't think we can even fathom it, because if we think of space travel and stuff, that's somewhere like I can see that in human evolution. I can see us being a spacefaring civilization in the future.
So are you saying 2% better is spacefaring?
Maybe not spacefaring, because if we can reach that, then we're always like, what's 2% better than us? You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm going to say it may be fucking, I don't know. It's too...
If you think about it that way, if we're 2% better in chimps and we're this much better, 2% better than us would
maybe be... telekinesis or something.
Exactly. 2% better than us is the X-Men.
I was just going to say that. Oh, shit. X-Men.
No, but the Omega-level thing is, like... It's not that they're. It's not that we're better. It's just that we're different.
And yeah,
it's
and the X-Men
I don't
are
think 2%.
Dan, we Dan, have the potential. Don't take this away from us.
We have the potential
us.
For telekinesis, if you believe that. In X-Men, it's like a potential.
You're ta-
it's not
don't,
like a change.
Don't take it away from
okay,
us.
Change,
we're
okay.
X-Men, okay?
All right.
We're X-Men.
We're X-Men. Solved. Case done. Closed.
Possible X-Men.
There you go.
It was a good question. Thanks for sending it in, Cedric. You gave us... we're drinking Octavia vodka straight.
And it and is bitter.
If you hear some grunting or some like...
Some of that
sudden movement. It's we're taking shots.
I just took 6 months off my life.
So thanks, fuck. Cedric. You've by sending us that, you've given us a new segment that we want to do every week. So fans, you know what to do. Ask us your questions. Ask away. You give us some feedback too if you want. On just record your voice, send it to us. We'll put it on the show.
Record your voice. You can even make fun of us and record send it to
yeah,
us. It's no
yeah,
big deal.
We, yeah, fuck, make fun of us. We'll put it on. We got thick skin. Anyways, should we get to the task at hand here? Is everything, we're all still good? We're going to be sketched
out. Good.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay.
Pre-show stuff squared away.
All right. Dyatlov Pass.
One more time.
Try it again.
Dyatlov Pass.
Right, okay.
Good. In an accent.
Everybody, now Zell, do your Russian yeah, accent. Let's hear it.
Let's use
Dyatlov Pass.
Well, that's pretty good. That's a that's like a Rocky.
I thought you were about to say "You shall not pass." That was pretty Gandalf.
You shall not Dyatlov Pass.
It crossed my mind.
Dan, let's hear your Dyatlov in Russian here.
Dyatlov Pass.
Of course. I can't follow that.
Oh yeah. Man.
Okay, one more. We got Andrew.
Dyatlov Pass.
That's Borat, but
yeah,
it's pretty good.
Pretty close.
Yeah, it's good.
Right? Hang like wizard sleeve.
Not bad. Fuck. That's funny. Okay. So Dyatlov Pass. Let's summarize this real quick. I'm gonna summarize the events and then we'll talk about
break it down.
We'll break it down. Hopefully
break it down
better than
shotgun.
I broke it down the last time that got fucked up. Okay. February 26th. 1959. On a night not unlike tonight.
Oh, I like it. Considering it is February.
Story time. Yeah, it is. Is it the 26th?
It's the 27th.
Oh, yesterday we would have been fucking bang on.
Oh, we fucked up.
It's February 26th.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys don't need to know that.
However long anniversary of this, the military was sent out to search for 9 missing hikers in the Ural Mountains. Otherwise known as Dead Mountain.
Spooky. Oh. This is fucking me up already.
Why
would anybody go hiking in a mountain called Dead Mountain? Like, no, I'm good.
Well, they can't. I don't know.
Come on.
Was it called Dead Mountain before? Is that called Dead Mountain?
It was
the name.
Before.
The translation from like the Manzi tribe is Dead Mountain.
Dead Mountain.
Yeah, the Manzi tribe name for it is Kolatsiakal, which translates closely to Mountain of the Dead.
Oh. Well, there you go.
That's there cool. you go, right?
And then wouldn't you want to hike there?
Well, what's the summit's called? Don't go there.
Yeah, essentially, yeah, the summit's called Don't Go There.
I mean, that's what the Manzi tribe called it, but on most of the Russian maps, I think it was just labeled Peak 1079.
That's very Russian. We don't want to fucking romanticize it. Peak 1079. That's
well,
just German.
That,
well, yeah, the German hikers.
Jack Unterweg is back. Jack, welcome back to the studio. Yeah.
We go to peak 1079.
Yeah.
We hike it. Yeah. We find the hikers, we do.
We was looking for them, but we could not find them.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Anyways.
Okay, so they go to find these 9 hikers. They get up to the mountain, and what they find is truly grisly. They find an abandoned campsite with one tent. The tent has been torn from what investigators deduced.
Yeah.
It was cut from the inside and then the hikers left. Tracks leading away from the camp. They follow them. They then find, I believe, two dead bodies in the nearby woods, wearing only their underwear, barefoot. 300 or 400 meters away, they find the remains of 3 more hikers that look like they were trying to make their way back to camp. Each of them scantily clad, let's say, not wearing proper attire, all barefoot. They quickly deem the death to hypothermia. Case closed. They couldn't find the rest of the bodies. They were going to search for them later. 4 months later, they find the remaining bodies under 4 meters of snow. That's not so much snow.
No, that's not a lot of snow at all. No, not even a bit.
Was that 15 feet?
12 feet.
12 feet? Ah, no that's big deal. Feet. I eat 12 feet of snow for breakfast. Oh. Okay, so they find these bodies, and now these bodies are painting a completely different picture. Very weird injuries to these four bodies. Some of them are wearing clothes of the other hikers. We'll get into their injuries now. But basically, what they scrapped the hypothermia, and from then on, what has been labeled as a cause of death has been unknown compelling force.
Well, they can prove that. I think it was at least four of them died from hypothermia.
Yeah, from exposure.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, it's called Dyatlov Pass because I just want to quickly get in the background of these guys. These weren't just fucking schmucks going to hike the woods. Like, they weren't fucking us going like, oh, fucking Dead Mountain, that sounds cool. You want to hike?
Yeah, see, I'd never say that.
No.
Ever.
No.
No.
This is why we don't take you camping.
Well, exactly. Well, you guys always want me to come camping. And this fucking shit happens when people go camping. There's a reason why I do not go.
You're going to come one day.
And I'm going to end up like fucking, it's going to be, it's going to be Habib Mountain or Habib Pass by the time you're fucking dead.
Habib Pass.
Yeah, it's game over. Brown guy always dies first. I've seen this movie. I don't want to go.
So the pass is now named after the leader, Igor Dyatlov.
Dyatlov.
And to all accounts, this group was very experienced mountaineers, hikers, cross-country skiers. They did everything to the T. They had their everyone knew where they're going to be, what time they were going to be back. They took an account of all their possessions that they were bringing. They kept a travel diary. So they took photographs, everything properly. And basically what they believe happened from the diary and stuff is, Zelly, do you want to go over what you think? So they are making the hike. They got hit with bad weather. They say it was minus 25 to minus 30. Near whiteout conditions and the high winds, so they set up camp not in the woods but on the hillside.
Why would you set up camp not in the woods?
It was right up next to a slope.
Right up on a slope, so I'm guessing they had some wind protection, but not in the woods. And then they started to set up camp, and sometime after they know after it was after the dinner. Because there was leftovers and stuff kicking around. After the dinner and sometime during the night, something happened and they burst out of that tent from the inside. They cut the tent from the inside and they took off into the woods.
Scantily clad.
Scantily clad, not dressed for anything. Super strange. It gives me shivers every time I talk about it. Just kind of fucking spooky. Well, this shit happens.
It gets even spookier once you hear about the injuries, right?
Okay, so should we get into the injuries? So right away, investigators said hypothermia, and then they started finding out these injuries.
Well, they started finding more bodies, right? Like the ones that were buried deeper in the snow were the ones that were showing like the massive crush injuries. Like,
okay, so give us your injuries.
These people were suffering from massive crush injuries, which you would like are synonymous with car accidents. Like, we're talking serious blunt force trauma, right?
Yeah.
And it gets even kind of weirder when one of the guys is missing his eyeballs, right? Okay. And we're talking all internal injuries, no external. Like, there's some defensive wounds, right?
Yeah.
A few here and there, but there's no external injuries other than that. You know what I mean? And then one of the ladies, I forget her name, Dominina or Dubanina. Yeah. Dubanina.
Yeah.
She was missing her tongue.
I have it right here. Yeah, Dubanina. Yeah.
Ludmila Dubanina.
Ludmila Dubanina.
I'm sticking to Borat. That's the only one I know. I'm fucking butchering that. But yeah, she was missing her tongue, right?
Yeah. And like, just so I want to clarify, like, she bit her tongue off?
No. I'm talking like right at the stem. Like, her entire tongue was ripped off. Well,
or something.
Whatever pulled it out did a fucking good job.
Yeah. Cleaned it right up.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. Fucking weird.
Yeah, and like that's, and then the other things too, which was really weird, is like the bruising patterns on these people. Like, almost every single one of them had a weird bruising pattern. Like to put in a good example would be if a hurdler hit a hurdle, right? Like right across their thighs.
Yeah.
They had these really weird bruising patterns all on their thighs. Super weird.
Weird.
Right? And then to backtrack to Mrs. Or Miss, because she's only 21, I'm assuming. Well, back then, you're probably married at 21.
They were all young. They were all early 20s, except for one who we'll get to later.
But this Dubonina lady, the lady that lost her tongue, it was actually shown that she had blood in her stomach, which goes to tell you that her tongue was actually removed while she was still alive, like perimortem, right? Yeah.
So if she's still alive, her tongue's ripped out, she would have swallowed that blood.
She swallowed a bunch of blood, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is peculiar and fucking creepy.
Oh, man.
First thing, this is like the crux of the mystery for me. You have these experienced hikers in the woods. They know what they're getting themselves into. They get stranded or they lose track of where they're going. They set up camp. It seems weird for me for people to set up camp not in the woods, if the woods are that close. I can see if you're on a mountain and there's no woods. I don't know why you would set up camp.
Especially if it's that windy and shit. Like, I think you'd want the trees as a windbreak. I would like...
Was it one theory is that they were practicing camping on an open mountain face. Because this trip was supposed to be kind of a practice trip before they went to go traverse more Arctic regions. Like, they were going to go on another trip after this one. This was like a preparatory trip.
Like fucking Hell Mountain or fucking what?
They were going to go on a more difficult trip after this one. This was one to practice.
What's more difficult than Death Mountain? Mountain?
Don't go their peak. Like, yeah. This will be practice.
Okay, let's say that is what they were doing, and they set up camp there because they're practicing. It seems like an act of like madness to rip your tent open from the inside, flee in your underwear and socks into the woods, away from your camp with no heat source, for no reason.
Do you think for a chance that like the whiteout was so severe that they couldn't see the tree line? Do you think that's a possibility?
I never thought about that, but it was. Maybe that's a good point. I never thought of that. Why don't we get into some leading theories? Or should we get into some other strange facts about the bodies? Should we list some other strange facts about the bodies first and then get into the leading theories? Let's do that because we'll have to explain in our theories all of the things that were weird with the bodies. So other weird facts with the bodies are some of their clothes, the remains of clothes that were found traces of radioactivity. Super fucking weird. At the funerals, it was claimed that the bodies displayed a deep orange tan and some even having orange hair. Super fucking weird. The missing tongues, the missing eyes, the crushing. At one point, it is the two that were found in the tree line. It was found out they climbed how high in the tree?
Like 15 to 20
feet. Like 15 feet.
Yeah. So in their ginch, they scaled the tree 15 feet and then either fell out or something because there was broken branches. So they climbed two of them climbed a tree near nude and then fell, I guess.
And see, this that's
they weird. They had extensive injuries to their hand. Like, they climbed that tree. There were pieces of skin they found embedded in the tree bark. Like, their hands were, like they said, a bloody pulp from climbing that tree. Yeah. So they were doing it for some vital reason.
They were doing it frantically. Yeah. That part right there gives me shivers. You don't just climb. Especially, okay, let's say it was such a whiteout that you couldn't see the tree line. The theory that they would climb the tree to try and find their camp.
Unless they had a fire, if they had a fire going, right, and they climbed a tree to maybe just see the light, right? Maybe they thought they could see the light.
They did have a fire.
Yeah. There was a fire at that camp, but we don't know if it was lit still when they burst out of that tent.
There's no way to tell if it was.
I think you can conclusively say that something scared them enough that they left that tent in a hurry.
I can totally agree with that.
Okay, so let's get into the leading theories. Dan, you want to start us off? What's your favorite theory on this one?
My favorite theory is I would back UFOs.
UFOs.
I'd back aliens.
Okay, give us the aliens. Give us that. We fucking...
Mostly because I'll give you the rundown for my alien theory. The lead investigator on the case at the time was one Lev Ivanov. And from hikers were camping about 32 miles south from the Dyatlov party, and they reported seeing around the same time that the forensic investigators gave what happened to the Dyatlov, like the frantic bolt from their tent and all the things that happened. The other party to the south said they reported seeing at least three strange glowing orange spheres. Fuck. Over that same area to the north of them. So they said they saw it. And those same orange spheres or phenomenon in the air were also reported for the next month and a half. Residents were also reporting seeing the same thing, same sort of phenomenon going on around that mountain.
Yeah, it's fucking I actually have something to that effect too. Lev Ivanov, who was one of the police officers investigating, he published an article that stated after his team had reported that they had seen flying spheres in the area, he received direct orders from high-ranking regional officials to dismiss the inquest immediately. So it's like, he's like, listen, we saw aliens. And they're like, cut it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all the
comrade, you saw nothing.
I mean, it is strange that the files for this case, when they had it, they were classified for a long time. Like stuff didn't come out till I think like the early 90s. And the Dyatlov Pass after this incident was closed for that area was closed for 3 years from hikers and skiers and any sort of tourists.
That's crazy.
That's fucking
three. That's a long time. Okay.
3 years. So, 3 years by that time it was still the Soviet government, but.
Okay, yeah. So let's say aliens. Okay, let's say spheres came down, aliens. Why do they blow up their tent? And we need to tie their injuries and shit.
I would say they didn't blow up the tent. I would say that the hikers saw something. And if it were the kind of, you know, fire in the sky kind of alien abduction where there's kind of the bright light and some sort of lifting force that started spooking them, and they needed to get out of the tent fast. So they cut their way out of the tent,
dude.
Or some of them might have tried to dress.
I want to pause you for a second here. Okay, I'm just going to add something on this while I have the fucking idea in my head. Let's say they didn't climb that tree. Let's say one motherfucker was getting sucked in the air and clinging to a tree for his life, right? Like he was just, and he was getting dragged up the tree. He was just fucking hanging on, right? And that's why his hands were a bloody mess, right? Like I fucking never thought about that.
It's plausible, I guess, but no, because then you would have shown, because they found both the bodies there, so it would have been like they would have shown like impact wounds, like when it fell or when they fell, and I don't think they found any of those. One of those guys I think had a no, that's the one they found in the ravine, had a fracture in his skull, had like a 7-inch fracture. They said it was a serious injury, but it was most likely not the cause of death. It was exposure. But I would say that if something did happen, they cut their way out of that tent. Some of them tried to get dressed, cause some of them they found did have clothes, but very little, or they were wearing clothes. Like, some of the men were wearing, clothes that belonged to the women, and either they were getting dressed in the dark maybe, or in a hurry, and they left. So this alien or this phenomenon scared them out of the tent. They all scattered because they said the footprints kind of radiated out for a second, and then down the slope they met again.
Yeah.
So I would say the two at the got to the pine tree before the other ones, and then they climbed up the tree to see where the others were.
Yeah.
And maybe if whatever phenomenon was still happening or to see their campsite. And then the other ones made a break for the tree line maybe and made it there.
See, it just I would love to just be like, yeah, fuck yeah, that's the bet. But I'm like, it doesn't explain some of the crushing injuries and shit to me. What do you think, Andrew?
Well, for me, the first thing, like, I don't know why everybody's so set on the fact that they escaped the tent with all their clothes on, right? Whereas it's like, I think it's something between 35% to 40% of hypothermia patients suffer from paradoxical hypothermia where they strip their clothes off, right?
Yeah.
So there could have been a number of those people stripping their clothes off from the hypothermia, and the ones that were like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, okay, sweet. I'm freezing. I'm going to wear this now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I,
that would be then before they left the tent, they'd have to be suffering from that. They wouldn't go mad in the tent. Why would they go mad in the tent and rip it open from the inside?
We don't know, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If you're, but I know what you're saying. Like if you're hypothermia, you lose your mind. Like you can't tell if you're hot or cold. And like,
well, I'm not even saying if it's losing your mind. Like that's not why they cut themselves on the tent. I'm saying this is why are we so set on the fact that they escaped their tent without their clothes on?
Because their clothes were found in the
People made it back to the tent.
They didn't.
People didn't make
they
it.
Didn't. I thought
they did.
No one, I think
the closest body to the tent was
three or 400
meters. I think Dyatlov. I think Igor was the closest one.
Yeah.
Because they left. They found all their winter expedition gear in the tent in their camp. They didn't take any of it with them.
It wasn't strewn around, right?
Fair enough.
Right away, I'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, that would make sense.
Well, yeah, that's just, I don't know. It's,
we got to cover every angle.
Every angle. Okay, so aliens, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not completely sold. Zell, what do you got for us? What's your leading theory? What do you think?
I love to believe and it was a fucking Yeti.
The fucking Yeti.
And I'll tell you why.
Okay, explain it, okay? So hold on, set the stage. They park for the night, they eat dinner, they set up camp. They're like, oh, comrades, let's go into the tent for some vodka.
No, here is my idea. These guys, they're traveling. It's a blizzard out. It's cold. -20, -25 is not that cold for a mountain pass. Like it's not not really that cold. If you think about it.
Like with gear and you're hiking, like you're still warm. I've worked in -25.
Like you get -50, -60 with the wind and shit. Now you're like, that's like instant freeze, right?
Yeah.
But -20, -25.
But they do say it was high wind. So the wind chill, like, I don't know what the wind chill would have been.
No, let's forget the wind chill. I'm just saying they're hiking through. And one of the theories is they kind of got off their track.
Yeah.
And they went the wrong way. And now they set up camp on this hill. And maybe they're doing it as like a training exercise. But maybe they were pushed off their track. They were scared out of their way by a fucking Yeti. This fucking Yeti was tracking them, and they knew what it was, and they couldn't go any farther. It was too windy and too cold. And a Yeti is the abominable snowman, right? He survives in the ice cold, frigid temperatures. So
just a quick little point. The wild men, or the whatever the legends of what lives out there, the wild men that live in that area are usually referred to as Almas or El Nasty.
El Nasty?
El Nasty?
Oh, man, from now on.
I'm not joking. They're referred to as either Almas or El Nasties. Those are the two regional the tribal people know them as the wild men, or El Nasty.
Okay, well, let's change here. We got an El Nasty on these guys' case.
Yeah.
He's locked in.
That's terrifying.
Wait, what is, Andrew, in your best opinion, what if El Nasty talks, if he can speak, what does El Nasty stand like?
Stand like? El Nasty. Well, what's up, guys? It's El Nasty. What's cracking?
You guys want to hike with me?
What you guys doing in the snow? It's crazy.
It's so snowy up here.
That's crazy. El Nasty, man.
Just call me El Nasty. He's like old Greg of the fucking mountain.
I'm old Greg.
You guys want some creamy Baileys?
What you guys doing in my mountains, fool?
Well, anyways, you got this guy. You got this El Nasty. You got this Yeti.
Yeah.
He's angry.
Yeah.
These guys are in his territory.
Or he's stalking, right?
He's stalking them. Yeah. And they know. And it's a winter storm, and they're pushed off track. This Yeti is kind of pushing them like out of the way.
Yeah.
And they decide they can't go anymore that night. They need to set camp. So they set. This is the part that gets me. I would set camp in a woods. I don't care. If it's a winter storm, I would not take the risk of putting on a slope, right?
Yeah.
I would go in the trees, covered by the wind, secluded from the wind shit. My theory is that they set up camp away from the trees, so they had a clear point, like clear line of sight around their camp for this fucking Yeti. This Yeti then got too close, and he was getting bold. He pushed them out of their camp, and they ripped their tent open and tried to flee.
Yeah.
But Yetis, I'm sure with their size,
El Nasty.
El Nasty.
El Nasty.
Could fuck you up.
Yeah.
Could fuck you up. With one punch, they could collapse your ribs.
Well,
exactly,
right? And these injuries, right, are crush injuries. And you know what I mean? With the removal of the tongue and the eyes, those are similar to ape attacks. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Like that's
and a Yeti, like a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch, all being like part of like the
El Nasty.
El
Nasty.
Come on, man. We get that. Come on.
El Nasty is. I can't even say it's too good.
It's fucking phenomenal, man.
But yeah, he is in like a. He's an ape, I guess.
Yeah.
Like a lost ape, right? He's like probably a 10-foot ape or whatever it is.
Some sort of wild man creature.
Wild man creature. Now,
I like that. I like that because, first off, so I like that. Maybe it was coming. It was getting into the tent and they fucking.
They're like, we got to get out.
Busted right out. They're fucking poking out. It was like the T-Rex coming in Jurassic Park 2 and it sticks its head in the tent and they're just like. Except they cut the tent and ran out. The two motherfuckers go into the tree.
Yeah,
they're climbing to get away from this fucking thing, and it pulls them out of the tree.
Oh, fuck yeah. Like, that thing could climb the fuck out of a tree.
Yeah,
that thing could push the tree over.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, El Nasty.
It's right? El Nasty.
So if they're trying to hang onto the tree and climb up, and this thing fucking yanks. El Nasty yanks them down, and they fucking shred their hands and shit.
And this is...
there is, to lend credence to it, Dyatlov's corpse, when they found his, which was closer to the tent, they said he was holding in his hand, he had like an undersized birch tree branch. So he had a branch in his hand and he appeared to be protecting his head, like his arm was over his head trying to protect him from something. That's what it looked like, or that's how his corpse was found.
Possibly protecting his face from the snow.
Or you're fucking playing dead, just like fucking laying down, like fuck covering his head like you're supposed to do in a grizzly
attack.
Well,
El Nasty has you in a headlock. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're doing everything you can to stay alive.
Tap, motherfucker.
I like the Hell Nasty theory, but then I would think they would have found some sort of footprints. If these were 8 foot, 7 to 8 foot tall man ape creatures,
yeah.
You would have found at least more evidence or more injuries. I think they would have been more severe.
Well, the fucking missing tongue, man. Like,
wait,
the fucking tongue pulled.
I gotta say something. Here's my one beef with the investigation of this situation. If it was that windy and that snowy on that night and these guys all like went out and died, those by the time like search and rescue would have got there like days or a week later, those footprints are long gone. There is no footprints left, I don't think.
Well, I think I agree.
Because it's always windy in a mountain pass. I don't care like what kind of day it is. It's always windy somewhere.
What I'm thinking is like, okay, so you know if you have like a fresh snow and you step in deep, like say it's like knee deep, you step in.
There's a slight indent after, right?
Yeah, and if that freezes later, right, and fills with snow, I wonder if they can find, like I wonder if there's a way to find the footprints, you know what I mean?
Well, no, I.
But I'm with you. I think the footprints are convenient.
I don't
for
think you could find like you could tell what kind of footprint it was. You could just see that there is an imprint there of something like blown over.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not even my biggest beef with this investigation. My biggest beef with this investigation was the fact that it was done in 1959.
Yeah.
Like, we have no forensics. We have no It's so limited. It's so aggravating.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm saying Yeti just because that would be sweet. Well, but let's go.
And
let's
just
go.
The fact, nasty. Just the fact that you were willing to invite me on a camping trip when you're able to suggest a fucking El Nasty. Just fuck you. I will never go camping.
I can't wait to finally find Bigfoot when we go camping one day.
No, thank you.
We should call him A Nasty.
A Nasty.
This is new Canadian name. A Nasty. Oh, fuck. Dan, you got anything else with this theory?
Which one? The El Nasty theory?
El Nasty.
El Nasty.
Nope, I don't think I got anything to add on that. You guys pretty covered it.
You got anything else that maybe that we talked about yesterday that we left off?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
sorry,
right.
What was that, Dan? You had something?
Whoa.
Yes, there is a little bit. There was stated to be, some people said there was an alleged note or a piece of
whoa.
Paper which scrawled on it. That they found a note.
What?
It's alleged that they found a note.
What?
That scrawled on it.
We were planning that harmonizing yesterday.
I forgot we were going to harmonize. I thought we were just saying what.
Okay, shit. Sorry, they found a note. This is what we've been waiting for. Dan, this is where we left off and we
fucking
fucked
put
up
it in,
yesterday.
Dan. No
put
one
it
was,
in. Stick
okay,
it in
this
your
was
eye,
just
Dan.
A tip shit.
It was reported that they found a note or scrawled on a piece of paper that was alleged to say, the only thing that was written on it was the cryptic statement, "From now on, we know there are snowmen."
Oh my God. Whoa. Fucking the Yeti.
Fucking El Nasty.
Dude, new theory. Frosty.
Oh, fuck.
You ever seen Jack Frost?
What's he doing with that carrot?
Yeah.
Well, to add to this El Nasty fucking business.
Oh, okay.
Hold on a sec. Real quick. Let me spit this here. This is fucking like way out there.
Yeah, I love it.
I was doing a little bit of research.
Oh, this is the one you told me about that I was
some people
for.
I read some people were mentioning it in the comments, right? So I did some research into it, and it turns out during World War II, Stalin was actually doing these experiments where he was trying to make this super soldier hybrid, and he was breeding females with apes. And like, 100%. There's actually a documentary about
there. Yeah, there is documentary. I remember hearing it.
and no, like, no joke, they had limited success for this, but it was abandoned, right?
Limited success?
But limited
they had some success.
They had some success, right?
Can a fucking...
Wait, some success? Wait, what?
What does that mean?
What is some success?
That's the best I got for you.
They're like, we got the ape to have sex with a female. that was successful.
I would assume that there was some type of impregnation.
I guess it was artificial. I'm guessing.
I don't know. Stalin was a freaky dude, man. I don't know.
I guess so.
Those crazy Russians.
Yeah. Damn crazy
fucking
Russians.
Sound some German shit there.
Yeah, that's fucked.
We got Jack Unterweger and the fucking Deglaka in Russia. They're fucking fucking getting apes.
Unterweger.
They're getting apes to sleep with women. Well, have you seen Russian men? I mean, come on. Oh.
We don't have any Russian listeners. So
I don't think so. Zero from Russia.
If you're from Russia.
You the only Russian man
tweet
I know
us, tweet us and beak us.
Zangief?
Oh, yeah. from
Street Fighter?
Yeah, that is my representation of the Russian man.
Well, I don't want to fuck with Zangief.
Fuck no.
Fuck,
yeah, this guy Zangief wrestles bears, man. Fuck that shit.
Okay.
So, limited success. So, maybe Stalin...
Wait. Octavia Shivers. Octavia Shivers.
It's another 6 months off my life.
So, what you're saying is that possibly Stalin and the KGB were fucking put in... apes with females, and that could be what attacked this group.
That could very well be where Zangief came from. We don't fucking know.
Ooh, maybe. Yeah, oh, that's a good theory. I like that.
Right?
Zangief, ape man.
Oh, dude, it's
ape man.
Zangief is hanging out in fucking the Yatlov Pass.
Yeah.
Death Mountain, wrestling bears.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. I have to add this, and there's great theory. There's a movie that came out recently called Devil's Pass, which is based on the events of this event,
it's
right?
Incident.
And so, spoiler alert: if you're gonna watch it, don't listen to this, but this part. But the theory that is posited in that is that it was time traveling, teleporting mutants.
Oh,
buddy, fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They did that. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, they went back to samurai days.
Samurai days.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Well, no, in the TV show, they went... Never mind.
So like... Okay. So
if you want to know the whole thing, like, look up the movie. It's ridiculous. Like, you can read the Wikipedia. It's so...
I think I need to see it.
I need to see it.
It's
Devil's
ridiculous.
Pass.
I'm or watch it. Yeah. Devil's Pass.
Okay, so Zelly, the Yeti. Who sent us that?
This fucking live Facebook message straight out of Little China.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
And with that's the fucking emperor. What's the bad guy from Big Trouble Little China?
Oh shit! Not Ming.
Like Ming or whatever.
No, Ming's fucking Flash. Flash Gordon.
But it's the same guy though.
Yeah,
like it's that old ass.
Anyways,
they send us that and it says straight out of Little China. I don't know. I don't quite get the reference.
Me either, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah, all right. I like it.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it.
Oh, is that Mike Guido? Or
yep.
Guido?
Guido, Guido, something
he's
like that.
He's always on Facebook.
Anyways, what were we
talking
about?
Thanks, Mike. Dan was about to drop us some knowledge on mutants. Oh, no, he told us some knowledge.
On the what now?
On the mutants.
No, I think it's your turn.
Oh, on the mutants.
My turn, okay.
You're up to bat.
Up to bat. Okay, so we got the Yeti. Sorry, El Nasty, or A Nasty for our Canadian listeners. Y'all nasty if you go south of the border. Okay, so my theory. Okay, here's my theory. My theory is a little less, a little more fact-based not that it has any more theory or grounded. It's just from what I was reading, this is what I deduced. The ages of all the nine. First off, there was actually 10 hikers. One turned back. Yuri Yudin. He turned back because he was sick, and he lived a long life and he died April 27th, 2013.
Guy had a horseshoe up his ass.
Yeah, he got super lucky. That would be me on a hiking trip, though. Like, oh, yeah, fuck, I'm really sore. Okay, I know I said I'd go hiking, but
I
gotta go home.
I gotta turn back.
So they had actually only left with nine. So there was nine. Yuri Yudin left. He went home. Before he went home, they ran into someone named Semyon Zolotarov.
That's a great name.
All the nine hikers that started are, the oldest is 25, and they're all younger. They're all early 20s. Semyon Zolotarov is 38 years old. He was much older. And it's reported that after some digging, it was reported that he met the group, and he was also supposed to hike the pass with his own group, but he couldn't coordinate with them. I'm guessing because the advent of cell phones and stuff, he went and had no way to get in touch. Now, so he teams up with this group. They go out, whatever, they set up camp, yada, yada, yada. It's known that in the area, in not necessarily the Ural Mountains, but in that region, during World War II and stuff, and post-World War II, Russia always tested parachute mines.
And which is?
Parachute mines, they drop, and they actually explode above the ground, and they don't kill you with shrapnel and stuff. It's the concussion that kills you, shockwaves that kill you. And they were known to test in that area. I'm not going to say specifically the area where it was found, but in that region they were testing.
Right.
And at night, when they would fire these things at night and track them, many times they had orange lights, which could account for the orange spheres in the sky.
The parachute mines had orange lights?
Yeah, so the military could track them.
Which, these orange lights were reported by the hikers, right? They noted them in the journals. They were reported by the Manzi tribe, the local indigenous people, right? Yeah.
And like groups of other hikers.
Yeah, so.
The one thing I'll say that goes against this is we're not getting reports of the explosions, which you think people would hear. Anyways, back to this, why I think this is my theory. They set up camp. They have dinner. It's bad night. They're settling down. They're having some Octavia vodka. They're like we are, Octavia.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
Prepare to cringe.
They have some Octavia vodka, and like we're doing right now, they want to take off their clothes, or the vodka's heating them up. They're in the tent getting naked. Ooh. They're settling down. Semyon Zolotarov is ex-military. He's seen the shit. It's 59. He's 38 years old. Chances are he was in World War II, right? Chances are he's got some fucking PTSD from that shit. Anyways, shit starts going off. A fucking parachute mine blows up near them. I'm not sure. I can't decide if I want to say it blew up above them first or near them. Anyway, something exploded. I know what? I'm going to say something blew up above them. The concussion hit them. They're all ringing their ears. They're disoriented. Fucking Semyon Zolotarov, who was found with a knife. He had a pocket knife. He slices the tent in a fucking PSD. We're under attack. Jumps out. Everyone else jumps out because they're like, what the fuck was that? He sees the orange balls in the sky coming down, and he knows what they are because he's ex-military, and he goes, comrades, like fucking run for the, like run. And everyone takes off, and they start getting hit by the concussion of these fucking parachute mines, right? And then the ones that get hit, because there was some reports saying there was metal strewn all over the area, and the military, we got to remember, the military were the ones sent to go find them. And it was military investigators. So if it was parachute mines that were killing these people, they wouldn't be like, they wouldn't want that out.
They would straight cover it up.
It would straight cover that up. It doesn't explain to me, like, you would think there would be more reports of explosions, but I think that would explain the injuries, right? And then people running, and then once the bomb's going off, they're disoriented and they're fucking lost, right? They have minutes to get back. Some are together, they have what clothes they could grab in their hands when they left the tent. And that's my theory. Then everyone died from injuries and exposure later on. It doesn't explain the tongue getting ripped out. It doesn't explain the eyes getting ripped out. Other than if you say scavengers found the bodies and then picked body's clean.
Which is totally plausible.
Yeah.
Wait, right? But
one question.
Go yeah. for it.
It doesn't explain radioactive clothing.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Back in the day, they used these candles. These like, do you know what they're? Do you remember? What
I have it
called?
Written down. If you want me to get it.
Yeah, if you find it,
go ahead and talk. I'll
so
come up with
what
name.
these candles? They actually the wick on them. Once the wick got old and brittle, they actually contained some bits of radioactive material in the wicks. So if they were really old and they were twisting them, fibers from that would come off and land on them. Land on articles of clothing of whoever was handling these candles, and it could account for the radioactive material.
Not sell me on it, but
okay. So I've got some.
I hear it.
I got some more though. That as this Zolotov dude.
Yeah. Okay. Right? Let's hear it.
Okay.
It's Zolotov's a weird guy.
Well,
Zolotarov.
It gets weirder though, right? He was the only one found wearing warm clothes and a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was the only one found wearing the clothes. He was the only one carrying equipment such as a camera and a compass. He's the only one that didn't have any bruises on his body, right? The only things that he had were the missing eyes and a pair of broken ribs.
Oh, he got lucky.
But he was found in the ravine, so that could be – he could have fell in the ravine, right?
Yeah.
He was, like Braden said, he was found with a knife. And, like – Did we talk about how everybody else's shoes, boots were found in kind of a collection?
Yeah.
Right? So to me, it maybe sounds like this guy had, like, I totally could see where you're coming from with this PTSD, right? Had a freak out, but maybe he turned on everybody else. He was the only one with a weapon, right?
Yeah, he right? had the knife.
And everybody can be like, oh, he's only one guy with a knife. Well, look at the fucking planes on the train center, right?
Yeah.
Box cutters, right? And he's the only one with shoes and warm clothes. Right? He could have ordered everybody to, like, hey, put your boots in a pile, strip. You know what I mean? You never know. Maybe this guy was a sadistic, crazy guy that found this group of young hikers, and his plan all along was to go hiking with them and kill them.
You know what? I can get on board with that because I'm saying he cuts it. He's like, he steps out, he cuts the tent open, everyone get the fuck out. Maybe he's holding one of them, right?
Well, he's found with that Dubonina chick, with the chick without the tongue.
So maybe he has Dubonina. He fucking slices the tent. He's like, everyone get the fuck out. Ooh, that is a fucking... I wish I had my camera ready for that
Well,
face.
No, right? Like
the Octavia face. So he calls everyone out. He's like, get the fuck out of the tent. And he's going to walk them. He's going to kill them, right? Like he's gone crazy. He starts to walk them and four fucking book it, right? And the conditions, it's hard to see. So the four book it and he's just like, wait, where are you going? Oh, well, fuck it. I got four other people to kill. And he goes, okay, you guys are coming with me. And he walks into the woods and he's fucking wearing his ragtag clothes or whatever. He's like, take off your jacket, right? Give it to me. I fucking puts on her jacket and shit. He then walks them to the ravine, right? And then the other three or the four that are tree line, one climbs a tree to see if he can spot them and shit, right? Fucking climbs. He's obviously climbing fast because they got to decide. He says, they're not there. Three go, we're going to go back, get our clothes. We'll come back. Die of exposure on the way. But that doesn't explain the crush injuries.
Right. But I don't know. It's a theory. Like,
what?
I could totally see why this guy's pissed. Zolotarov, like, and not to mention, he did hide his name, right? He did lie to everybody about what his name was.
He did?
Right. That Yuri guy said, oh, that's.
Yeah.
And when he pointed him out and when they checked his records, they found out his name was. Yeah, you know what? I would hide my name too if my name was Semyon, but
yeah.
I get it.
Semyon.
Semyon.
Semyon,
yeah, it's pretty Semen. Close, same thing. I bet they were all making that joke. They were early 20s.
That's it, fucking. That's probably it.
He probably got sick of them.
He's like, fucking take it.
I can't take these kids. I'm losing it. Serenity now.
I can get on board with that theory,
but it doesn't count for the two. I mean, yeah, Semyon going psycho and killing everybody. Whoa,
sorry, I just took a huge sip of Octavia.
Octavia.
Hold on. Sponsored by Octavius. Sophisticated taste, embracing the mystery of the night. Sorry, Dan.
Anyways, the only thing that I don't think jives with that theory is that the two corpses that did have like the crushing injuries that they said probably couldn't have been attributed to like human force, a human generated force. It had to be something more than that.
I know that's the mystery. Okay,
I was going to say, that term, compelling...
Unknowing
compelling force is the cause of death. That just fucking boggles my mind.
Okay, so let's... One thing we... Oh, Andrew, you got something?
Well, you know what? I haven't shared a theory yet, but here's a couple things, right? Like, this again doesn't really explain the crush injuries, but these guys, most of them are found with burns on them, right? Maybe a fire started in the tent, right?
And from what I understand, is hand burns,
lots of hand burns.
So what says to me,
Well, they could have been getting too close to a fire, right? When you have hypothermia, you got a loss of blood flow to your extremities, right?
They said the investigation showed that they did get a fire going after they escaped. Was a fire. They were able to build one. That could.
Well, and when you have hypothermia, right? You got nerve damage, right? So you could be getting pretty close to that fire and not knowing that you're actually burning yourself.
Right, right.
Which is fair. Another cool one with the potential is, what if a meteorite struck?
There was no crater, though, found, or that we heard, that at least was reported.
Exactly, right? Well, how much snow was covering, right?
Yeah.
They don't know.
Son of Krypton.
You never know, right?
Landed. Fucked them up.
Oh, fuck. Right. What is it? Not Dan, you'll know this. It's not Red State. What is it when Superman lands in Russia? Have you read it?
What'd you say?
Red Sun,
Superman,
right?
Red Sun.
Fuck yeah, maybe that.
S-O-N. Not S-U-N, but S-O-N,
yeah.
I got a problem with the meteorite.
Well, because didn't they find like scattered metal and shit
they
everywhere, too?
They said scattered metal. There's reports of scattered metal that were not listed on the investigation.
So but they
that,
were radioactive, too, right?
But yeah. I think if you seen, if there was even a small meteorite the size of a basketball, would leave a massive
crater.
Through, it would go right through the snow, it would hit bedrock, and it would just explode.
Yeah, you would have seen melted snow. There would have been evidence of something striking the ground, I think.
Yeah, because they left further on their hike. So what happened? They died February 2nd. That's what they know. And they were found February 26th. And I don't think it would snow enough to cover the impact zone of a crater. And not to mention, if people were saying they saw the orange lights in the sky that night, someone would have seen a fucking meteor that like impacted enough, hard enough to fucking fuck them up.
Yeah, meteors.
Right.
I think that other group
would have seen something. I think that would have been.
I don't know. For me, honestly, I really think that some type of missile or, you know, what do we parachute bomb like that?
Yeah,
to me,
some military test.
I think a bunch of shell shocked Russians ripped through a tent and scattered.
I know Yuri Yurden, the one who had turned back because of illness. Like he said, he reported seeing documents that the military actually started their investigation 2 weeks before the official discovery of the campsite. He said he saw that they actually had started investigating 2 weeks before they released that they had found that campsite.
Now,
right, because they found the two bodies first. They found the bodies first, the two bodies underneath the pine tree, and then they found the campsite like a little bit later. Right?
Yeah, man. Because the only other thing we haven't talked about, and we forgot to talk about at the beginning, was many people claim avalanche. Now that could like again, this is a weird case because it has so many things that like add to a theory and then so many things that don't work with theories. And avalanche, that would explain the crushing force. What that doesn't explain is the tent still being up, right? Like if their tent was buried, if they got hit with a force of a fucking avalanche that buried their tent and they had to cut through the pins in the, like it would have fucked up the tent. It wouldn't have just left
the
tent.
Wouldn't have found the tent.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know.
Like there was a guy, his last name was Dunning. He found Russian tourism brochures for that area that do warn of severe avalanche danger near 15 feet slopes.
I know, but if you've ever watched, like there's a lot of videos of GoPro videos of like snowmobilers causing an avalanche. Even like mild avalanches fucking destroy. That's like thousands and thousands of pounds of snow rolling down a hill. Even if that was like the runoff of the avalanche into the tent area, into like the campsite, there would be like that. I feel like that would just be like something like there was an avalanche here. You would just know. It wouldn't be like unknowing compelling force killed these people and ripped out their tongues and eyeballs.
It could explain the fact that like the lantern spilt and put that thorium everywhere, which comes back radioactive.
Yeah,
right?
The thorium, yeah, that's what it is. It comes out radioactive. So if that spills, so if two people were handling the candles and that thorium got on them, that could account for the radioactivity. But it's hard because it's like it doesn't say the level of radioactivity because it was 1959. They didn't keep those records or they'd never release those. So it's like it's one of those things. Now, the other thing is, there is, you can look up pictures because they documented the whole thing with their camera. And they have a picture of the tent. And some people argue that the tent in the pictures that the investigators published is set up incorrectly.
It's set up in a rush, right?
It's set up in a rush, and it's not set up properly. And they say that experienced mountaineers would not have set their tent up improperly like that. So that leads to the military covering something up. The other thing is the pictures, there's one last picture on there that's just a blurry mess, and it's the very last picture, and people don't know what that is. But that could go to the Yeti thing, right, at night, and some, and they're like, try to get a picture of it. Also, Zolotarov had a camera, but all his film was destroyed by water, so they say. So
you, Dan, you were saying that they started a fire after they escaped there was, the tent, right?
Yeah, there was evidence that they had managed to get a small fire going before.
Was that by the tree?
Like after this was, that was near the tree. I'm pretty sure it was near the tree.
Like, I find that super hard to believe too, because like if these guys are running outside and they're ginch, how the hell are they starting a fire in the middle of a whiteout with no supplies?
I don't think the whiteout was going on at night. I don't think so.
But still, like, they have no supplies, nothing. That's
right. Yeah, you know, they've like, left the camp.
It's hard to say because like most blizzards and stuff do happen at night, like, and that's when it happens.
Well, that might have been why they broke off the branches from the tree.
Oh, that could like climb the tree to break the branch.
Climb the tree to break the branches and start the fire.
Yeah. Again, but then why? Why? Like, it does, like, there's so many fucking mysterious things about this.
Yeah, there is some reason that they didn't want to go back to the tent.
Yeah.
Like, there's something that kept them away from the tent.
Yeah.
And it could have been the whiteout, but there's definitely, I mean, you see that they had those two bodies that were found underneath the tree climbed that tree for some reason.
Yeah.
And either whether it was to break those branches or to get away from something or get a better view of the camp that was about 900 feet up the slope from them.
Or maybe they were just...
There's some reason those people didn't go back to the camp. There was something keeping them away. And what was it? We don't know.
Well, maybe they just went fucking crazy on the infrasound, right? We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the infrasound.
The what?
Infrasound.
Right,
like that actually is like the leading theory.
I think that,
right?
Yeah,
that's
that
what everybody is.
Explain
that,
it.
That Dead Mountain is what that whole Dead Mountain book is all about, the infrasound, right?
Do you want to explain
what's
a little
that?
Bit?
I think what's
you,
infrasound?
You probably have a better
Dan. You got a good idea on infrasound. Infrasound.
I know. I just know pieces and bits of the infrasound theory. I know it's based on that theory that certain frequencies of sound will like mess with your brain.
Yeah,
it's like right? below 20 hertz or whatever. If that's the right,
the humans don't hear under 20.
Right,
under
and so they
hertz,
would. They I were.
Think.
I guess they could have been testing some sort of infrasound weapon or technology on that mountain, since around that mountain was known for military testing, they just happened to either be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it messed with them, and they got disoriented or made them go crazy.
Yeah, and then they came in and covered it up.
Well, yeah. And like you know what I mean? Isn't it? Can't that sound happen naturally though? Too, whistling with the wind
through
the mountains.
The book Dead Mountain. I think the guy did a study there. From what I remember reading on the internet, he did a study and he did. They did detect levels coming off the hills from the wind, right? And they theorized that it could potentially get to sounds that could fuck you up with high enough winds.
Okay, here's this theory. Okay, so Semyon, the military guy, right? So he's military, so the Russian government would have had like files on him, at least like a most recent file of some sort of like physical or, you know, medical checkup, right?
Yeah.
These kids were also – they were university students, so I assume they would have had most – they were healthy. I'm assuming they had like access to medical care. They weren't – like you said, they weren't their usual schmucks. So these guys go out and maybe the Russian military was testing a weapon and wanted to see the effects between that would have been like the typical age range for soldiers. Like it would have been early 20s, yeah. early 20s and mid 20s. And then you had your 30, 38, 37 year old Semyon. And they wanted to observe the effects. Because another thing that Yuri Yurdin said is he said he could confirm that they removed organs from the corpses, put them in special boxes to send them off for testing during the investigation. He said that also happened. And that was something that happened.
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of their autopsy reports, right?
Yeah.
But and then there's the, like, I don't know. Right. Like, women fighting in the military? They had two women there too, right?
They're just nurses, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
But I guess you were testing, if they wanted to test it on a subject range, you would want to know what it did.
Yeah, maybe they're thinking civilian population, but just between that age range, you know.
So they just don't use women for breeding with monkeys then, I guess, at that time.
I'm going to jump in here. I'm back to the avalanche theory. I'm looking at the picture of their camp and where they're situated on the hill.
Yeah.
There's a very, very slight incline. It's not avalanche territory.
Yeah.
So only thing, if I can't see up the hill, but that would be like the end of the avalanche would have hit their tent, if anything. But when an avalanche rolls through, in this picture, the snow is pretty much flat with like a few ridges. When an avalanche rolls through, it's like a fucking minefield that went off.
But you're saying that's where the end of the avalanche would hit, so it would be the minor end of the avalanche, would it not?
But I'm saying if it's a minor avalanche, you would see just like chunks of ice, and like it would not look like this. I'm going to turn around and show you guys. It's flat.
Yeah, like that's
flat. Back here is flat. This would looks like a little destroyed. Like it could be a little bit.
But you got
to
remember.
That looks like they just dug into the snow to build their tent more than anything, right?
That's fucking, I don't know, that's an odd one. That picture, like, it's not helping me with any fucking.
I got to say, I think we could all agree that they set this camp for whatever reason. And they were forced out of their camp in a hurry by some force.
Yeah, let's agree on this. We're not going to hike Dead Mountain.
Fuck no.
Jeez. You know what, boys? We got to hike Dead Mountain.
I'll cross that off my list.
We're gonna, with you. You want to play the elevator game? You want to fucking go up Dead Mountain?
We got a
Ouija
board
Mountain?
Episode coming.
Oh, God.
Coming
when it's warm.
We're not doing it in the cold.
Some actually asked on Twitter today when we're doing it. I said when it's warm.
Are we going to do it at Father Pandozi, or where are we going to do
Maybe
it?
Maybe Mission Creek.
Oh, yes. Mindy Tran, I forgot.
Yeah. I don't know where yet. We'll figure the spot out. So I think we pretty much could close the book on Dyatlov Pass.
It's really, really, really weird. The radioactivity thing.
It's still uncompelling force is the final thing. So I don't think you can close the book, but it's definitely no one really knows what happened. But I mean, the only thing, like you said, is something forced them out of that tent and kept them away from it. And they ended up something that scared these experienced hikers and one ex-military guy who's probably, you know, World War II. He's seen some shit.
Fucking Spetsnaz, badass. Right?
And he did not, and they did not want to go back.
Yeah.
And they would rather have faced exposure and death by hypothermia than go back to their campsite.
Go back to their tent.
To their shredded tent, though.
Yeah. Or to go back to get their clothes even, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
But like, why were all their boots in a pot? Like, that's
fucking boots in a pot.
Zolotarev or whatever the fuck is it? Semen. Fucking semen. El Nasty and Semen plotted this whole thing out.
So on some recent news on the Dyatlov Pass, the first time we mentioned Dyatlov Pass on the podcast, I think it was probably December, a group of hikers were hiking it 2015, and they came across a half-naked 50-year-old man dead in the pass. And they reported it to search and rescue and then went missing. I can't find any reports. I found one that said they had come back, but the rescue teams weren't going to go and try to recover the body until spring. But they did lose contact with the hikers for at least a week after. And it was kind of exciting because we were prepping this one and we talked about it. So we'll try to keep an eye on it. My thoughts on this next case with Dyatlov Pass is a 50-year-old man half naked. Why he was there by himself, strange, but half naked. Probably
paradoxical hypothermia.
Yeah, paradoxical hypothermia is my guess. But why would you hike the pass alone? I don't know. Maybe he's hard as fuck, and he's like, I can do this. He had a bottle of Octavia vodka, and he's like, fucking thought the world was his oyster.
Well, is euthanizing legal in Russia? He's probably just like, fuck it. This is how I want to go.
Yeah,
I'm done with this.
Fucking sure. He's like, I'll walk this shirtless.
I'm giving it all to the fucking El Nasty. I'm done.
You know what? I'm still going with the theory that El Nasty fucked these people up. And my first reaction was when you said radioactivity. Well, how El Nasty would do that? But if you say this lantern,
oh yeah,
right?
El Nasty fucking
everything else.
That shit?
El Nasty fucking beat the shit out of these people, ripped out their tongues and eyeballs, and they spilled this radioactivity juice from their lanterns on themselves, and that's why they did that. Trying to climb the tree, he rips them out of there. You know, who knows?
Well, the fact that her tongue was ripped out while she was still alive, right? Like
that just doesn't happen.
Well, that makes it hard to believe that, like, some type of scavenger, like an owl or a bird or something like that, sitting there picking her tongue out while she's paralyzed, possibly. I don't, how else would that happen?
It's fucked up.
It had to be
taken out
by force.
What I picture in my head is El Nasty peeking his head in the tent. She's shrieking and like doing the Simpson shriek where her tongue sticks out of her mouth and kind of waves.
He's like,
and
he just
fucking snaps it out of her mouth. Like in Kill Bill, when she snaps the eyeball, but he does it with her tongue. Ugh. And then they're all like, oh shit, this is for real. And they cut out the tent.
Yeah, fuck.
But like, yeah, again, no drugs. Like they were all pretty like standard system. Like they said they were not drug users.
And they didn't climb Death Mountain to fucking do shrooms.
No. They had one flask of, like a small flask of medicinal alcohol. And that was it. So they weren't even drinking and shit. Like it's just fucking mind numbing. Anyone else? Anything else to add on Dyatlov Pass? I saw that, yeah.
What the fuck is that?
We put a picture up on Facebook of us in the we could kill that shit.
No, wait.
It's fucking creeping me out, man.
That's
fucking unnerving, man.
It's Evil Dead, man. You never seen that movie? It's fucking awesome.
Is that the effects of infrasound?
Yeah. We posted a picture of us in the cabin, and there's a huge moose head. And I did that because of that movie.
Because of Evil Dead 2?
Evil Dead 2. The moose comes alive and starts laughing.
It was a deer, I think.
No, it's a deer. I'm pretty sure it's a deer.
It's a deer.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. Anyways, the animal comes alive, and I was hoping someone would pick up on that, and someone sent us the clip of it coming alive and laughing. And I was like, yes, Evil Dead.
Not El Nasty, but...
Not a fucking A Nasty or whatever. Anyone else got anything else on Dyatlov before we shut her down?
It's another unsolved mystery.
It's a fucking super unsolved mystery. Well, you know what? We will keep our ears open, and if we have any breakthroughs, we will give. We'll do a Dyatlov update.
Well, I'd be curious to see if that 50-year-old man's missing his tongue.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I gotta keep up with that.
We won't know till spring.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
that happens to an experienced group of people. So it's either gotta be something scared them and killed them out of their tent, or that one fucking guy, fucking Seaman was up to something.
Semen.
Military tests, like all good theories. What's the truth? You be the judge.
Little everything. Bombs went off. A Yeti came in.
Everything happened.
Like
Seaman went fucking nuts.
He went nuts.
Parachuting Yeti bomb.
Case closed. Boom. We're done.
Oh, fuck. Okay. So, Dan, you got anything to plug?
Nope.
What's your Twitter? What's your Twitter, Dan?
My Twitter. Dan at Dan Space Oddity. I don't know how Twitter works.
At
I really
Dan
don't.
Space
I
Oddity.
At Dan Space Oddity.
Yeah, at Dan Space Oddity.
Anything else? You gotta... No? Okay.
Dan's out.
We kind of have studio news. We're going to be moving to a bigger studio at some point, maybe this year.
The studio is in the works.
Yeah, new studio.
Ooh, I have
gonna be,
I have the resources to upgrade, and I'm looking for a better spot.
Yeah, nice. So awesome. We'll have it's going to be big room, big sound pretty quick here at Media Recordings.
It's going to be a bigger room,
bigger sound.
A little bit better sound.
Nice. <We're> not, bigger room, a little bit better sound.
We're not getting out of. We're not spending a fortune.
Slightly
we're not,
better sound.
We're not spending 100 G's on recording equipment.
Meteor-recording.com. Bigger room, slightly better sound.
And that's the new slogan.
You can follow us at Truth Is Out There, Turr. Send us tweets, send us fan mail, feedback. Facebook, Alien Theorists Theorizing. I would say pretty much you run the Facebook more than I do, and I run the Twitter more than you do.
Yeah, I do Facebook more, and you do Twitter more for sure.
So sometimes I pipe in on Facebook and sometimes Zell pipes
sometimes
in on
sometimes we
Twitter.
Double tweet people because we didn't realize that the person
that I noticed that happens that. A lot. Sometimes we give conflicting answers.
Like, yeah, that happens too.
You should refer them to our preparation video.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Please check out Twitter for the greatest preparation video you've ever seen.
If you want to know how we get prepped, we posted a video on Twitter of how we get prepped for the show.
It's kind
of
like our Rocky montage.
And you can also witness Braden's brand new Budweiser long sleeve sweatshirt.
Dun-dun-dun.
King of beers.
That's
with his matching sweatpants that you've come to love.
No.
On yet another episode.
You guys can keep pushing this theory. You guys can keep pushing. This is a conspiracy in itself that I never change. But, you know, right now I'm wearing slacks.
I haven't seen you change pants in 6 months.
So, that's a bold-faced lie.
I only see you once a week. So that must be that one day a week you're always wearing the exact same pants.
You wear those every day to the gym. There's no getting out of that. Don't even fucking lie.
Guys are killing me here. You guys are classic. I wear nothing but Abercrombie and Finch to the gym. You know this. And or Lululemon.
Oh, you're part of the Lulu crew now.
Yeah, Lulu crew. So anything else? Andrew, you got anything to plug? What's your Twitter?
I don't know.
I think it's at Ahab Medlab. We're following him if you want to add Andrew and ask him medical questions.
You search, so you look for the brown guy wearing a paramedic outfit.
Yeah,
and that's
I'm wearing a paramedic outfit. I'm also guest starring in the fucking preparation video.
Yeah, Andrew, he
claimed to fame.
Any other news?
WrestleMania's coming.
WrestleMania's coming. Yes.
Oh, are you going to post?
When is WrestleMania?
Really? Has it really been 1 year since I mean?
Yeah, WrestleMania.
When's WrestleMania?
40 days.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it is. Yeah, February is soon. That's right.
So what's that? April.
Oh,
February's April over soon. Now. March. What's the main event? I haven't kept up out here. What's the main event?
Triple H, Roman Reigns.
Oh, okay.
H is still wrestling.
Are you going to post our visit to the fights? Our night at the fights.
I need to get the voice recorder back from Nick first, and then look through it and edit it.
Have you even told the fans?
For anyone, anyone doesn't know. Brayden and Andrew went to Road to WrestleMania.
And we recorded the whole thing.
And pretty much fought the big show, I heard.
Yeah. You know what? If we do release that, we will release that on the other podcast. What's the meaning of this? Speaking of that, we need to get the ball rolling on the revamp of that. Because Tiffany Bergman is getting very impatient with us.
1 second. I'm putting Ixnay on another podcast.
Why not?
I feel like this podcast will be a summer podcast.
This one?
Well, like the revamp of...
Well, yeah, that's fine. I'm down with doing it in the summer. It gets so fucking hot in here. You better get a portable AC.
Well, we just talked about we're getting a bigger studio. We're going to have cooling.
Cooling system.
Everyone thinks we live in Canada and it doesn't get hot, but in the summertime it's fucking hot.
It is hot. It is fucking fucking sweltering.
It's going to be fucking degrees. Sweat lodge,
man. It's 35, 37 degrees Celsius, so all you... Americans down there, that's about 100 degrees.
100 degrees, really?
Yep.
Okay, well, fuck, it's hot.
Almost 100 degrees.
We'll look for that. Maybe we'll do one or two test runs before. Tiffany Bergman, when you listen to this one, tell us who you like on the other one. Which guest do you like?
Yeah, tell us who you like and who you just
don't like.
Just get rid of.
You know what? There's some people on that one that we're looking to cut. So we'll let you decide. Tiffany Bergman is the Axe Woman.
We are giving power of attorney to Tiffany Bergman on cutting and accepting the members of the next podcast.
You know what, Tiffany? If you want one of us cut, just tell us.
I will gladly just bow out if you tell me to
you
step
have the
aside.
Power.
Because...
Anyone else? Anyone been giving us some fucking love on Twitter that we should give a shout out to?
You know what? It got to the point on Twitter and Facebook that I can't keep track of who is doing what.
It's almost getting...
Which is sweet.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. We try and keep track, but...
We always try to get back to you, but it is getting a little overwhelming now. I don't know. I don't know what other people do, but like sometimes my phone just blows up and I just go...
I get mad and I just turn it off.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, trying to think of anyone who was giving us... Connor. I can't remember Connor's Twitter. Oh, shit! Here we go.
Whoa!
Xbox. Sunday night, 7 o'clock. From now on, we fucked up the first time we were going to do it.
Wait. Can we do it like a different night? Sunday night is tough.
Sunday's
Sunday's God's day, okay?
It's the fucking day of rest.
Don't roll on Shabbos.
Yeah. No, no fucking play Xbox on Shabbos.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to go 24 hours advance warning. Could be any day.
Yeah, just throw it up on Twitter.
Could be any day.
I want fucking in on this, though.
Okay.
Because I was playing with this guy from Australia. I can't remember what his name was. But he actually had a sweet UFO story. I guess he sent it to us, but we lost it or something.
What?
Oh, really?
Or he sent it to the wrong email, maybe. But he had a story of he works in, like, the mines in Australia.
Yeah.
Up north, northern Queensland or whatever it's called. And there's a UFO that goes into his quarry at night, and people see it, but it's never reported. I fucking played some Call of Duty with him actually yesterday. So
that's fucking cool.
Spooky, man.
So yeah, if you want to play Xbox with us, I am Ren Omon, Ren space O space Mon. That's my name if I was a Pokemon.
And I am just ZEL4 or ZEL4, depending on what language you're speaking.
Yeah, Andrew.
I think it's all caps, A H A B I B 15.
Dan, you don't play Xbox Live. Dan's
a PC. I don't play any Xbox. I'm part of the PC Master Race.
PC. Well, he's part of the Aryan Master PC Race.
Yeah. Yeah.
PC Master Race.
So, yeah, if you want to play with us, send us. Like, if anyone's been waiting to play with me, I'm so sorry. Like, I've been so fucking busy. I've played maybe twice the last month. So, I played with Kinyard. It was fun. I'm going to play more. This is going to make me play more Xbox. Speaking of that, we got to decide. I'd like to decide what games we're going to get. I think the next game, I watched the fucking Division.
Oh my God. That awesome. Game looks
Division.
Fucking,
yeah.
Dude.
It looks awesome.
It looks amazing.
I got to look
so,
into it.
So I think that's the next game we're going to get as a group. We're going to discuss it. We'll let you guys know. And then, because we'll try to play the same games all the time that we can all play. If you want to join the ATT Xbox clan tag ATT.
Awesome. Huh?
Yeah?
I don't know what that means, but awesome.
No? Yeah. What do you want?
ATT is fun.
Yeah.
Clan tag, ATT.
Well, yeah. What's a clan? Well, I'll ask you.
So, like, when we play fucking Call of Duty or Black
Rebel
Ops,
Scum or
we're the clan, and our clan is fucking ATT.
Cool.
No, when I play Xbox and I talk about aliens, I do really, really bad because I just get distracted. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Just to let everybody know, I'm going to be the guy in the corner shooting at the wall and in the air. I'm fucking horrible.
It's no secret that you are maybe the worst video game player of all time.
I'm good at sports, though. So.
My dad's
bad. Real life sports, great.
Yeah.
Video game sports, fucking terrible.
You actually didn't do too bad last time we played together.
Getting better.
You know what I am. Oh, since I got Boba Fett's gun.
Well, okay, let's end it.
Let's end it. We've been talking about video games and shit.
We're going to try and do another episode this week, actually, because we missed a week. So.
This one will be just me and Ryan. Should we say what we're going to talk about?
No.
Maybe Hayden on? Come on. Dan.
No. We are doing a quick episode on the Dolce base.
Yeah, Dolce.
Nightmare Hall.
Cool. Midweek, so that'll be cool.
Wait, Dolce, New Mexico one?
Yeah.
Yep.
The underground base?
Yeah.
Ooh, cool. That's a good one. That's good.
So, Dan, I don't know if you'll be able to come on midweek, but...
Oh, no, Dan, know what you should do? Because you probably won't come on midweek. If you just record on your own time, like a 5-minute summary of it, and we'll put it on before we start or something, it would be sweet.
Okay, groovy. I can try and do it. Yeah, I can try to do that.
Cool. Yeah, it's up to you. If it doesn't work, we'll probably record it Wednesday or Thursday.
Yep.
Okay.
Again, we got some big things coming up. We're getting to fan requests. We got a list on the board. We're getting through them. There's a fucking shitload. Australia fans, we're going to do Pine Gap eventually. It's coming. I think it's called Pine Gap, right?
Pine Gap.
Case file 20 of this one is going to be a fucking huge one. We're going to have all hands on deck. I think we should do a two-parter where we have various guests on.
Of the Hollow Earth theory.
Hollow Earth theory, because Mr. Conspiracy is back. We'll get Dan on. We'll get Andrew. We'll get our American alien theorist correspondent, Hayden. We'll call some fans. We'll do a whole bunch. Should we set up a time where fans can Skype with us?
We're making too many promises. But add us on Meteor. Add us on Skype at meteor.studios. And if we're in here, we will call.
Yeah,
we randomly call people now.
All the time. Whenever we're in studio, like before a podcast, we randomly call people. And if you're not online, we go, fuck them. And if you talk to us, then as soon as you come on and say hi, we go, hey, we think you listened to our podcast.
Did it. Honestly, didn't think we'd get this far.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap it up. We're done.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the end. Case file 13. keep those eyes on the skies, and life will find a way.
Oh, he snuck it in.
Was that a pretty good? Was that a good Ian Malcolm there?